Every year, 1.2 million children are sold into slavery across the globe. Your favorite webcomic creators have joined forces as the Comic Creators for Freedom, fighting together to end human trafficking with over 100 artists create one image in the hopes of spreading awareness and raising money to help fight this heinous crime. For information on how you can participate or also contribute to the annual fundraising drive, which begins this year on January 9th through the 20th, visit www.comiccreatorsforfreedom.com and learn more.
Now broadcasting the Webcomic Beacon.
Welcome to episode 215 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are a part of the Webcast Beacon Network. A webcomics... No, wait a minute. Shit, let me start over.
Yeah, we don't do none of that.
No,
professional podcast.
I thought I could... magic of editing. Welcome to episode 215 of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, and we are a part of the Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, comic books, and now web fiction here at webcastbeacon.com. Grab the master feed and not miss a single episode. I am Fess of ArgerComic.com, and with me... we have Mark Savory of AutumnLake.com, which updated twice in the past week.
Ooh. Hello there.
And let's see here. This week, we have...
Greetings.
Mary, if I'm going to say it right, Kegel of KiwiBlitz.com. Welcome.
Hey, and you did say it right.
And I didn't say it right?
You did.
Yay!
It is Kegel.
Let's see here. So if that wasn't a little bit of a clue, she's a bit of a Star Trek nerd, or she's at least starting to really get into it. And so we'll.
I've seen all of The Next Generation, and I'm working on DS9 on season 6.
Sweet.
Thanks, Netflix.
Yes. So we will be talking about Star Trek a little bit later.
Make it so, Mr. Fessworks.
Yes.
Okay. Make it so, Mr. Fessworks.
By the way, you may occasionally hear the ambient engine noise, which I found on YouTube, playing every once in a while. I'm just kidding. All right, I'm done with that. It'll probably just show up terribly on the MP3, so maybe I shouldn't. Because it's so much bass, but it would be awesome.
Feels right, you guys.
Just turn up, yeah. Or that wishly watery sound on a 96 kbps MP3.
That's you talking, right?
Okay, so for those that don't know, a long time ago, we ended up getting... What the hell was that?
Hmm?
We ended up getting Amanda... What are you doing?
This is a mysterious incoming transmission.
All right.
From an alien race.
Yeah.
Oh, no. The auto translator isn't functioning.
Oh, it's terrible. Yeah, go ahead. What?
Anyway, now I don't even know anymore.
What did we do?
You're talking about the past.
Yeah, the past. We had a couple of ladies on, and I accidentally tweeted Mary's... Twitter handle as in somebody that we were having on, and it's like, oops, that's the wrong handle for whatever reason. I think I've gotten you both mixed up somehow because of your Tumblrs or something, or I'm just stupid. But then I was like, ooh, that was a mistake. How would you like to be on the show anyway? So here we are. Mary, you do a comic called Kiwi Blitz. Why don't you go ahead and tell us about it?
Kiwi Blitz is about a girl who decides to fight crime with her kiwi bird mecha, and shenanigans ensue.
So, You know what? We should have. We should have Liz Stately on this. She does a mecha comic as well. She'd be totally geeked about other people doing stuff. So, are mechas commonplace in this world?
They're pretty commonplace. They were used in the last World War, and they're used in a kind of WWE style fighting thing.
Rock'em Sock'em Mecha.
Yep.
Awesome. And so this takes place in after a world war, so it's not too the not too distant future.
Sort of like Thunderdome, much like MST3K. But with robots.
Yes. And one thing I noticed is you also have a Tumblr and a DeviantArt page. You have a DeviantArt and a Tumblr. And you'll occasionally put art up on here. And one thing I noticed about the art, when I first saw it, I was thinking that you used vectors a bit. You just got
A lot of people think that.
You got this Photoshop. Really sort of very curvy, very, I'm really good at drawing a nice line right where it's supposed to stop and turn into another line.
I suck at that.
Well, I know somebody else that kind of does that sort of thing. Though she might vectorize it, but I also know that she just spends an insane amount of time on touch-up. So what is your secret?
Just super steady hand. That's pretty much it. Zooming in really close, kind of like a penny arcade guy.
Oh, I guess I suppose like if you're trying to do a nice quick line and you're zoomed out too far, it starts to angle if you use like a tablet.
I also use the pencil tool, which makes things sharper.
Oh yeah, I draw with the pencil tool too.
I think I just use the brush.
Yeah, I don't use the brush.
I never use the pencil
because it's anti-aliased. And well, I also draw at 600 DPI.
Same.
Yeah, so do I. But I always get like the herky jerkies. You know, I always get the.
Jaggy-waggies.
Jaggedy-jigglies. Well, that sounded wrong. I mean, yeah. Sounded like something from the 50s.
Well.
No, I always get the sort of stair-steppy sawtooth edge thing going on if I try to do that.
Well, maybe it has to do with when you probably save down your image to the web version. In Photoshop, and it's probably one of the settings of when you shrink down.
Oh no, this is when I actually draw. Like you drag the stylus across the Wacom tablet.
Well, yeah, no, you kind of want that hard edge.
I don't want the jiggly edge though.
No.
No, this is me not having a fine hand. That's what I'm talking about. Not kerning. It's just sort of crappy line work.
it's when you shrink it down, especially when you work at 600. You know, it should be able to fuzz out a little bit, or appear to be. I don't know. I do that with Ardra, but anyway, what colors do you use? CMYK or RGB when you color?
I use RGB.
Do you have plans for printing?
Yeah, I mean, there's a volume one. I mostly use RGB because the way that the multiply and screen functions work is a bit different, and I like it a bit more in RGB, but I'm trying to, especially recently, keep to CMYK colors.
Okay. Now, when you printed, you have your volume one here, which is 100 pages of full color. Did you notice much of a difference when you went from your RGB files to printing it? Like, what did you have to do?
The only big problem was the greens, because I guess CMYK just really doesn't like green. So I actually had to go back in and refill in all the greens with a slightly more print-friendly version.
Ah.
Well, but usually, that actually didn't take that long, and the rest of the colors were fine.
But usually like, a red, like, red is also usually an issue. That I've noticed. But yeah, a lot of times with the greens. Where did you get it printed from?
CreateSpace, Amazon's print-on-demand service.
Oh, I need to write that down, CreateSpace.
Yeah, I rather like them.
See, the thing is, I am looking to print the first Ardra book, which is only like 32 pages, on a print-on-demand service. And I'm going to need a lot of different books. I'm going to need a lot of books for going to conventions, and also the artist is going to need books for conventions. So I'd rather buy a whole bunch now, but I don't think I'll have like the offset printing price that I can just dump $2,000 on for 1,532 page books. That doesn't seem very practical. But I wanted to look at Kablam, Comic Express, and some other site called RA Comics Department, which sounded similar.
RA Comics was pretty cool. Yeah, they Create Space?
That's what you told me.
No, wait. Oh, Comic Express is the one that I had a really bad experience with.
How long ago was that?
I ordered a proof in August, and I got it in December.
This past August?
Yeah, this December.
Wow, they
and
still
apparently
having...
someone else was having the same problem.
Wow, I thought that was... Well, the idea is that I'm going to try all these different places, and I'll put Create Space on my list, too, and see what the turnaround is for initial submission, and when you can, and off of like a 25 book order, just to see, you know, it's about $100 at that point, maybe $90 for that many pages on average, and just basically do an episode that evaluates all these different services, because I don't think anyone has really actually done that yet that I know of.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
But I color mine all in CMYK, so I can't really, you know, speak for the people that color in RGB, which, you know, Kablam will take RGB. They will only take RGB. If you give them CMYK, they will convert it to RGB, because I asked them.
Interesting.
And then I said, it's like, well, okay, it wasn't exactly that straightforward of an answer. It was, if you're going to convert it to, I said, if you're going to convert it, I would rather convert it to RGB because I know when I convert it, I get the almost exact color that I want. Because I never got a straight answer. They may have like a 6 or 8 color printing printer, you know, which could possibly do a better job of mimicking an RGB color. But the problem is you're still not coloring in RGB. They're doing a conversion of some sort. Because it's impossible to print as RGB. It's literally impossible. Because you can't
print... Especially your teal.
Unless you're printing with LEDs or something like that. I don't know. So it's like, that's like the only one that does RGB. So maybe that's good for like some people. But I did end up printing in my CMYK converted to RGB. And I looked at it. And it looked pretty good. You know, it didn't, you know... But that's also...
Well, yeah, I mean, it should be accurate to your colors, because there's nothing that you do in CMYK that, you know, doesn't work in RGB.
Well, still, they may not be using a 4-color printer. So if they're using, like, a 6 or 8 color print, there's still some conversion going on, I believe, at some level. Now, this is also where a part I had to talk about, because I accidentally deleted a video that was paired with a previous episode. Because it was recorded on Ustream, and I deleted that account, and I was like, oh, shit. That's the episode we had Melissa Kircher on that did...
Doing colors and stuff?
It was colors and line... Yeah, it was professional coloring. But, you know, the information is still there on the MP3. We just don't have the video for it. And she was going all about, you got your line, and then, like, subtract... Make another layer, subtract 2 pixels from that line.
I do that all the time now.
Yeah.
Coloring looks a lot better.
It's that undercolor line and all that crap. And I also use B-Pelt. Do you use B-Pelt, Mary?
Oh, you're talking about the thing for filling in random colors?
Yeah.
No, I've never had a need for that.
Well, I never really do the random color thing. I use the... It comes with a flatten tool. And that basically, here's the problem. If you have higher than 70% black, anything higher than 70% black, like so 70 to 100% black, it'll treat that as a black line that needs to be omitted when it flattens. So it'll take all the colors you currently have, figure out where the blacks are, and then spread the colors to basically cover up those blacks. Mm-hmm. So that it, the idea is to get rid of as much white or not color as possible when you put it all together for print, so that it's to help, like, if the plate shifts a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
So it's like an added step on top of the method that Melissa taught us, which is, you know, because plates still shift just a little bit. But this is like extra protection. Jeff Jocks of Questionable Content just basically has, I think he just has like a black that's on a multiply layer, and then he just flattens the colors on the bottom layer. And so that's supposed to help with the shift as well. So, you know, there are, you know, multiple ways, and it could just boil down to nobody's going to notice except us when we look at it. It's like, oh, I forgot to do this, or I could see that little pixel of red not where it's supposed to be. You know, it's bleeding over. Like, but nobody else notices because we're the.
I probably read too fast. It would have to be very pronounced.
And I mean, I actually, my flats are on the same layer as my line art because it's. You know, because I do it in pencil, since there's no aliasing anyways, I just have all my flats on one layer with the inks.
You could still potentially have plate shift.
Yeah, but there aren't plates in print on demand, so luckily I don't have to worry about that yet.
Well, that's the thing. Now that, you know, I prepare for the worst.
Oh, yeah. But I haven't, I don't know. I haven't seen any plate shift problems from people who color like that yet, but it's always possible.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, I don't know.
I'll have to wait till I order proofs someday.
Yeah. I got into the habit, and we're future note. We're probably going to have her on again to talk about, I don't know, something. I got to get her on again just because, Tanya loves her, who can't be here today because she thought we had no show today. Aww.
And joik.
Yep. So, cubed watermelon.
Cube watermelon.
Oh, okay. So, is this a Minecraft reference, or is this before Minecraft?
This is before Minecraft. They actually grow cube watermelons, mostly in Japan. It's a thing.
So, they grow a watermelon in, like, a box?
Yeah, like in the semi-transparent box, and then you take it out, and it's a cube watermelon, and then you sell it for ridiculous prices. Because it's a novelty.
That's kind of awesome. And stupid.
That's why I named myself after it.
Why couldn't you have like a triangular or conical watermelon?
They have made pyramid watermelons.
Oh.
And there's even a few shaped like hearts.
Oh.
Over in every angle, eh?
Eh.
You do it pumpkins. How about pumpkins?
I think Gallagher just had a wet dream right now.
Mm-hmm.
Man, a pyramid watermelon would give such a great splash radius.
You like hit it right on that angle.
And then it's all down from there and outward. Maybe he needs more like a wedge shaped one so it doesn't just hit him too. So it's mostly outwards. Is he still alive? I have no idea.
I can't call myself a Gallagher aficionado.
Nah. I was just asking in general. So, Kiwi Blitz, that's basically the name comes after the name of the mecha?
The mecha's KiwiBot, but that's why the Kiwi's in the title, and the Blitz is more just because it's an action thing, and the main character is German. Blitz means lightning.
Oh, okay. When I heard Kiwi Blitz, it sounded like it was almost like a sports title. But
well, there is actually a New Zealand football team, or rugby actually, called Kiwi Blitz. As well as a kind of donut and sometimes a drink.
Sometimes? How do you sometimes a drink?
Well, like there's some place somewhere that has Kiwi Blitz as a drink because it shows up on Google searches. I tried to find my comic.
Ooh, I got a bill here for my credit card due in a couple days. All right. So,
is that relevant?
Yeah, sorry. I'm all over the place. So how long have you been working on Kiwi Blitz?
Since 2009? Wait, let's go see. April 2009 is when it started.
Is this your first comic endeavor?
It's my first like serious webcomic endeavor.
Ooh, where are your more not serious?
In the annals of DeviantArt, you can find my Kirby fan comics and
ooh.
Whatnot.
What? Ooh, you have Kirby fan comics?
Yeah, it was about a girl in a Kirby hat, and she had Kirby powers.
Oh, I was thinking of from the webcomic Kirby.
There's a webcomic called Kirby?
Oh yeah. Wait, did you say Kirby or Curvy?
Kirby. I'm not talking about sexy space or whatever that one is.
Okay. All right, got it. Oh, you got a cute Adventure Time character. Okay. You just got like this style. It's. I want to say it's like pillowy or marshmallow like. Just kind of like big fluff. I don't know. It's just it looks like you could like design plush toys almost.
I'd love to do that. Call some people.
So how long have you been? I'm going to guess that you started as a deviant artist that just eventually started making comics because people say, "Oh, you have great art. You should do a webcomic," right?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay.
You know, I would draw random. Like, you know, it'd be for a long time. I'd be like, "This is going to be my comic. Here's page one," and then page two never shows up. That was for a few years.
Yeah, I've noticed a lot of, a lot of people, maybe not a lot, but like, you know, it a thing where like a deviant artist will just sort of kind of have.
Oh, you mean like all the concept art and characters?
Yeah, and then just like there'd be like a couple of like pages, and then suddenly it turns into things as like, well, now you have to take that and put it on a website, and then you have to promote that website. And
sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
But yeah, usually it doesn't even get to the comic phase. I get really frustrated with all the people there. Like, here's all these characters. Everyone's like, oh, it's already my favorite comic, even though it doesn't exist. And then it never exists. It's never a comic.
Yeah.
Sounds like the Continentals. For the longest time, it was all just concept art. And I guess they've finally gotten around to doing it. It's been a long time since I checked, though.
Continentals?
It was something on the Twickle forum.
Twickle forum? Was,
the webcomic list forum.
Webcomic list?
Yeah.
Before your time, apparently. How old are you?
I'm 22.
Yeah, before your time.
Back in my
I've heard
day.
Of the webcomic list.
Yeah, we're old farts here on the Webcomic Beacon podcast. And with that note, we're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to be even older.
Like animation? Come listen to Animation Aficionados.
And if you disagree with us, you could be a guest on a future show.
Available on iTunes, the Zune Market, and animationaficionados.com.
This program is a part of the Webcast Beacon Network and is hosted on the Rampage Network. Follow us on Twitter at Webcomic Beacon. Email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com or leave us a voicemail by calling 1-320-310-0922. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity and the creative process since 2007. Webcomics, comic news, tropes, and web fiction at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Is a break?
I think the break is over, and we're back. Okay. I may keep some of that.
But during the break, we fell into a temporal anomaly, and we are now older by 30 years.
Back in my day,
Mark,
didn't have temporal anomalies. They were just spatial weird enough. Shit happening. That's what we call it. Hey, there's some weird shit over there, Captain, and it's happening.
Now it's a temporal anomaly.
But you know what? It's the same thing. They're just pretending they know what it is.
I know. They're just trying to upmarket it or some crap.
What's temporal anomaly even mean? Nothing.
Doesn't mean a damn thing.
And Tanya's not even here to appreciate this. God damn it.
No.
Oh, moving on. Anyway, so as far as the DeviantArt,
as far as being on DeviantArt, how long have you been on DeviantArt?
Oh, wait, let me go find. Because see, I actually had an old account I had to hide away.
Oh, really? What is it?
You don't worry about it.
So, would you say just forever?
Oh man, yeah. 8 years ago is when I started that account.
Wow. Okay, so I got some questions about DeviantArt then.
Go for it.
What is the community like? I've never really gotten into DeviantArt or any of those other sort of art sharing things because I always had a website where my stuff was. But I don't know. Just tell. How did you get into DeviantArt?
I don't know. I mean, I just started posting my stuff there in general. I mean, God, I was, 11 or 12? So it was... No, I would be about 14. So I was just like, I'm going to put my art somewhere so everybody can see it, and I'll be for the famouses. But it's not really... to call it a community is kind of tenuous because it's such a big site, you know? And
Right. Most
people who are actually good artists don't bother with... a lot of this stuff, because a lot of the stuff is, you know, Sonic fan art and all that you hear about. But then, of course, you get the professional people that are on there, too. So that's mostly what I go for.
Yeah, I have noticed that there's, actual, you know, paid professionals that have a DeviantArt account. And it's Lauren Faust is on DeviantArt, and it's that's kind of cool. You know, it's almost
Yeah, there's always good people. You just have to know how to look. Most people will just look at the other people's favorites, you know, an artist you like. And it's well, what do they like? Okay, here's other people that are actually good.
So when you started, how long did it take before you actually, I suppose, had some followers that gave you actual decent feedback?
Well, it's important to remember that I sucked when I started. But so I'd say a few years, and it was just that kind of thing where at the time I didn't understand how you got popular. So I would spend some time commenting on other people's things, hoping that they would be oh, who's this person? Oh, look at their art.
So how do you get popular or known or noticed on DeviantArt?
I don't even know now. It was such a gradual thing that, I guess you just kind of hope that, you know, the more people favorite you, the more other people see you in their favorites, and
but
then it builds on itself.
They have to see you first.
Yeah, but I mean, you'd show up on the main page, because, you know, they have the big page of everyone that posts anything.
And you gotta be good, too, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just getting popular anywhere.
So is, the main page a staff pick?
No, the main page is it's just every update on DeviantArt.
Oh, wow.
As it goes up.
So you have that very random chance.
Yeah, you'll see a lot of crappy art. I'm on here right now. Here's a very sexy snake. Here's very gradient-filled Kirby. Pretty good. Here's a picture of someone trying to look sexy. But then, you know, someone might see, here's something that looks good.
Okay.
Who's this person?
I see that. Well, see, my theory was always like when you're on a forum, it was always... Or anything. If I ever see anybody with an avatar that looks like, you know, hand-drawn avatar, it wasn't obviously cut from something that I, you know, that was some sort of public property or something like that. It's some sort of drawn thing. It's hey, that looks kind of cool. And then I would click their name to see their website to see if that matched. And that's how I found different things, by looking at people's avatars, because they usually drew in their style themselves or something like that, of you know, I'm thinking about comics here, and I guess I would suppose that to be the same in forums or DeviantArt, that the avatar might be a little bit of an in, but I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that's always possible, because sometimes I'll post in people's journals and then I'll notice that they maybe favorited something of mine or started following me.
Right. I suppose also just, you know, commenting and getting your Avatar out there. Just, you know, yeah, a little bit of exposure.
I really like this post you did.
Yeah.
See my Avatar? It's a watermelon.
I started getting really bad, you know, just your typical WordPress fake spam bot post is like,
I really like your post about the content of your post.
You've really opened my eyes with your disposition or whatever.
I have a similar content post on my page.
Or it would start off like, yeah, that's, you know, that's exactly what I was thinking. Shoes, Viagra, you know, coffee maker, you know, just, you know, it's just a bunch of random shit. Okay, so, let's see here. Did you go to school at all for art?
I am currently doing that. I go to the Savannah College of Art and Design, but I am attending online. But I did go there in Savannah for about a year and a half.
Well, all right.
And I am majoring in sequential art, which is comics.
Oh, hey, cool. There's a major. Sweet.
It is a thing.
Yes, it is a thing. And speaking of things, I think we're going to divert ourselves to Star Trek at the moment.
Finally.
Finally.
I was talking about my stupid artwork. Who cares?
Yeah, yeah. No, this. I think I just started seeing you talking shit about Next Gen or something like that. And
no, Next Gen is cool. It just,
you're just going off on DS9 like it's the shit.
It is the shit.
It's not. It's the space
station. It's all of
the
shit.
It's boring.
Dude, they've got the Defiant. It's a cooler ship than...
Yeah, but the series is not called the Defiant, the better than the DS9 ship.
Look, how much of DS9 have you actually seen, son?
See, I grew up...
I've seen it all.
I grew up watching The Next Generation with my mom and my brother, and it was like...
That's
it was
a good question avoidance.
It was... No. It leads up to it. And we used to watch, like, X-Files together, too. So me and my mom and my brother, you know, we were all, like, you know, nerds about this stuff. And it was like, Star Trek, yeah! You know, watch Star Trek. And then that was over. Then it was sad. Then DS9 came around, and it was like, this isn't Next Gen. It's... They're on a...
Oh, yeah, look at all this character development and, like, relevant relationships. It's awful.
Oh, it was so boring. Was
and like, this humor. What?
It's like, somebody attack them. Yeah, it's like...
Okay, how much have you actually seen?
I've seen, I don't know how many seasons there are. I've probably seen at least 3 seasons. No, wait, you know what? I've seen enough to the point where things are actually starting to get interesting, which is at the point that I started not to have TV. For whatever reason, like I moved out, or I just didn't have the, or it was school and it was on at a certain time and I didn't get to watch.
That's
or something
right.
Like that.
Star Trek used to be on TV.
Yeah, yeah. See, DS9 was starting to get real interesting with Odo's people. I forget what they were called.
Oh, the Founders.
Yeah, and there were just like
the Jem'Hadar.
The Jem'Hadar.
Yeah, and that, when like, you know, shit was going down, there was some actual things to worry about, you know, stuff happening. You know, they didn't really have the Borg to deal
Look,
with. There
the
was
Borg
no
I never
Q.
found to be very interesting.
Well, there's still that, you know, threat level, you know, and then there's also Q, which was very interesting, that came up every once in a while. And it was like,
who always threatened to make you laugh with his shenanigans.
He's such a pixie.
You notice, I like that he is literally like a space pixie.
He is.
Like he's a fairy tale character.
There's one thing with these Star Treks is that they are all kind of Next Gen after a while. And you find that, what I've found is they all start out kind of new and interesting and different, and then they all become Next Gen. After about 2 or 3 seasons, they say, I guess we have to make it like Next Gen now. And
I kind of see that, like, they get on the more epic, like,
yeah, they have to have part of their formula. Part of their formula after the Borg were a big success was they have to have a villain who's so super powerful they could kick everyone's ass, even the previous big super villain. So, like, the Borg could totally kick the ass of Klingons and Romulans, okay. So the Founders could totally kick the ass of the Borg.
I'd actually like to see Founders versus Borg. I don't know how that would go down.
And then in Voyager, they had species number blah, 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 whatever they were, who could totally kick the ass of the Borg and the Founders, so they're even
more
powerful.
I liked Voyager. I understand it had its faults and such, but I liked it because it's like, it's Gilligan's Island in space.
Gilligan's
Island. It's exactly like that.
You know, it's
I haven't seen any of it yet, yeah. So I can't
speak
to it.
They did some very good things, and it has its weak points, but they did some very, very good things that don't get enough credit, I don't think.
Yeah, I was really upset about the whole when 7 and 9 came into play, because it's like, what was that, 2-3 episodes? They could have had an entire fucking season of dealing with the Borg and that whole tension and drama and everything. If they just, it was so rushed.
But wasn't it always like that in The Next Generation anyways? Like, how many episodes really had the Borg? Maybe like 5?
I mean, it's like
5 or 10.
I don't know. It's like
not very many.
Well, it's you know, it's like your two-parter, you know, two-parters were always awesome. You're just like, oh, unless it was like concluded. at the end of a season, you're like, no, you bastard.
So the formula, again, going with the next gen formula, is that the season finales always kick total ass, and then the season premieres are kind of meh.
I mean, maybe it's just because I've been watching them. You know, I don't know what it was like to actually watch them as seasons and have to wait. But for DS9, it almost seems like two parts of the same episode when they do stuff like that. You know, like they had the story.
Right.
Like this is going to happen and then they're going to have to go rescue the deep space again.
You know,
you also find they had really awesome episodes during Sweeps Week. Like something like Yesterday's Enterprise, I think, or the one where they're caught in the time loop. And John Tesh was, or Kelsey Grammer was the captain of the other ship they kept running into. Things like, I'm pretty sure, I want to say Inner Light too. I don't think they were premieres or finales. They just sort of fell like in the middle of the season where
most of my favorite episodes are like that.
And you could tell they were pulling out all the stops because, oh, it's sweeps time. And so I always felt they could have done better from that point of view. But no denying that they're quite entertaining.
Yeah. The thing that DS9 mostly has that I thought The Next Generation lacked is humor. Because I love the way that they mix in like the silly stuff with the Ferengi and whatnot. And The Next Generation was always just very, it took itself very seriously.
Well, you see, Next Generation was a science fiction drama. That's what it was. And it had some peppered action in there, but that's what it was really cool. It was a drama. And
dramas can't have comedy.
Well, they had a little bit here and there, and that's fine. And DS9 was a sitcom. Really?
I don't know. In what way is DS9 more of a sitcom than The Next Generation?
Because there's so much... well, like a drama, and it's like it couldn't decide. I don't know. I just remember it just like, it's like, you know, come on, do something. I don't care about these assholes. Do something. Go somewhere. Explore some planet. Discover a species. It's like, I like that. I just like, I don't care about you and your stupid relationship.
I don't care about characters. What it's like, sentient fungi are they going to find?
Yeah. It's like, I don't care about... just break up and get it over with. Or it's like, fuck you.
Look,
just,
you were
just
teased to watching
something.
The Next Generation where the characters weren't worth worrying about.
No, clearly. They're worth worrying about, but there was like other things to worry about. It's like it was a soap opera. It wasn't a drama. It was a soap opera.
So I've aired this theory before, but I will reiterate it anyway here because I don't think our guest has heard this yet. Here's Rick Berman, and he's doing Next Gen. Okay, and they're going to wrap up the series. And he's like, good, because I want to go and make my own sci-fi show, one set on a space station. And then they come along and they say, well, we need a new Star Trek. Can you come up with one? And he thought about it and said, well, I could make my show into a Star Trek, and then I would get to make my show for 7 years instead of having it canceled after the first season.
Well,
which could happen. Because, and I think if you really look at DS9, and the reason why I think this is, if you took away all the Star Trek trimmings, the logos, the terminology, uniforms, the kind of ships they have, and all that stuff, and replace it with something else, what do you have? Deep Space Nine.
Yeah, I've heard Babylon 5 is similar, or some other
thing. It's set on a station. That's about it. Oh, and they have a big war. I mean, that's really the only similarities.
Oh, copyright infringement.
No, they're radically different.
They invented war.
It's like the difference between Northern Exposure and and Twin Peaks. I mean, they're that different.
Yeah, it's
there's
like
similarities, but they're that different.
Yeah.
So,
I'm more of a fan of the not interpersonal drama bullshit. I have enough of that in real life.
The Next Generation had that; they just didn't do it well. So I think
they didn't stay on it long. So for too long, it was always, you know, what the entire ship has to be worried about, or like, you know, sometimes like a little bit like an off. Like every once in a while, there might be a little bit, an episode of character development with some other person that maybe doesn't get a whole lot of screen time, or you get a little bit more into their character, their personality a bit. But it wasn't like watching DS9 for like a month and nothing happens. Of just it's a couple of people, just it's just people, and I hate people, and no, shut up.
But what really happened in the Next Generation? Like, they found the Borg at one point, and then what other big...
They discovered things. They saw things. They went to places.
Look, they discovered all this Gamma Quadrant shit in Deep Space Nine.
But they were stuck on a ship, and it was like every single episode was...
Stuck on a ship? What do you think the Enterprise is? Is there a ship?
Okay, stuck on a station that doesn't go anywhere. They moved it once that I know of.
Yeah, but that's why they have the ships that they go places on.
And then when they wanted more... And then when they wanted ratings, they got, hey, we got this Defiant, and so we're going to go and do stuff, and then we're going to get our ratings up again. You know.
Made it more like Next Gen.
I'll fight you.
You know, there's weird science things to figure out. DS9 was like people things, and then spies.
Well, it's really just a big analogy for the Palestinian conflict. That's all it is. Most of it. And then you have the Jem'Hadar on top of that, the founders. But I, one of the things I thought they did that was really cool was they made the abandoned space station. Was it Terok Noir or something like that? It was maybe you haven't got to it yet. I don't know how far
the
have you
one
got?
Where they go and they have those xenophobic, drugged up guys.
No, they have, it's another Cardassian space station. It's identical to Deep Space Nine, but it's just abandoned.
Yeah, that's where, when they first go to it, there's some Cardassians there that were
stasis. Oh, yeah, they have the soldiers in suspended animation.
Yeah, and Garak goes nuts, and Garak is an amazing character. Kind of character you wouldn't find on The Next Generation, for instance.
That's true.
I mean, I will admit, I mean, there were some really good episodes, and there's some really good characters on there, but as far as a show overall, as far as content per capita, I was bored with it more than...
Whereas the Next Generation, you always had good episodes.
Not always, but I said per capita, you know, there's a lot more better episodes.
I disagree.
I have to disagree, too. I think DS9 was more serious. I think it was a more serious show.
Too serious.
Maybe that just turned people off, or some people. I mean, it's one of those love it or hate it. I kind of was on the fence. I didn't like Kira Nerys when she
Kira's
started.
Okay,
out.
I like her more than Dax, which is the one character I have a big problem with.
I always liked Dax, but then I'm a guy.
Everything good about Dax is from when she was a dude, and that's the problem with me. For me.
Oh, that's like, a good point. I hadn't thought of that.
Weren't you bitching about her hat at one point on Twitter?
What, her hat?
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody was bitching about Dax at one point on Twitter. I thought it was you.
Oh, I've bitched about Dax, yeah. Because it's just, she's a character that is just on the line, she could be cool, but instead it's just always like, remember when I was a guy and I was cool, but I can't be as cool now because I'm a girl.
That's true. I hadn't thought of that. Everything she does is based on who she was previously instead of who she is now.
Yeah, the only thing you really know about her as Jadzia is that she got good grades, so that's cool. I'm really excited about you.
Like Bashir.
Oh, God, he's a lot of fun.
Love O'Brien, who doesn't?
I love Odo.
Odo Yeah, he grew on me pretty good.
I have a big old crush on Odo.
Even Quark kind of grew on me. I found him a little annoying at first, but he really got better.
I like Quark is great just for so many funny episodes about the Ferengi.
I like the Quark-Odo episodes.
Yeah, Quark and Odo are totally gay for each other, and it's great.
Slash fic warning.
Yeah, Kira bothered me. She was like the stereotype for a long time. Till they toned her down. She was like, I've bitched about this before too. She's supposed to be a strong female character, so what do they do?
Instead of making her
a strong female character, they make her someone who can beat up a guy five times her size, plays poker, all her coworkers are afraid of her, she's always angry. You know, not really.
Yeah, Kira's a bitch. I mean, I don't know how she was supposed to come off exactly, but...
That did not work. but when they toned her down and, you know, then, okay, she was fine.
Yeah. And that kind of ends up being, you know, character development for her. Like, she started out as this person who couldn't get along with anyone.
That's true.
And she ended up being more reasonable.
She was supposed to be Rolaren.
Is that a person?
She's on Next Gen. She was the Bajoran.
Oh yeah, wasn't she going to be that person? But then she
was
going to
be made.
It.
She was going to take that role, but the actress decided not to. And which
God,
is too bad
because
I like Michelle Forbes. I like her, and I thought she'd be really good because she had that strong personality without being bitchy.
Bitch, though. Yeah, she was such a bitch.
Well, okay, this was something that was brought up to my attention a little while ago. Okay, you know, like in the James Bond movies, they kept, I forget the actress, as Q. No, as M. You know, they kept...
Oh, Judy Dent.
Yeah, Judy Dent.
Q and James Bond. Hey, James.
Yeah, I meant M. Because when Craig, right?
Yeah, Daniel Craig.
Daniel Craig. That's basically when they rebooted the series. It's not in continuity necessarily with the older movies.
So that kind of I don't care for. I wish they would have swapped her out with somebody else.
Yeah, actually, you know what? I actually really prefer her. You know, she's like the only like carryover. And I guess wait, do they keep the new Q as the like?
Haven't seen him really.
Or R? You know, was it R they kept as Q?
No.
Wait, what are all these letters now?
Okay. Anyway,
R was the replacement for Q. R was played by John Cleese, I think, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And he was taking over for the previous actor.
Yeah, the previous actor died, and I think they knew it because the last movie that Q was actually in was like.
I always have an escape plan, Bond.
You aren't retiring, are you, Q? And he doesn't really say anything, and he just kind of, you know, leaves, and it's like, man, that's sad because he didn't know he was. Gonna die until like you know
in
like,
a car wreck of all things and he was like what 90
yeah and it's like
how shitty is that
well I don't know I'd rather not die in my sleep but anyway getting
Wait,
back
so we're
to
not
the,
talking about Star Trek Q.
getting back
oh
to
that's
the,
James Bond Q
getting not back to the point getting back to the point before we go to break I liked that they kept the woman Q damn it the woman M god damn it and I always thought she was like a really great character. You know, she's just like no nonsense sort of, you know, I'm the boss, you better listen to me sort of thing. You know, don't disrespect me. But, you know, always, you know, she was a well-rounded character. Maybe she just really is really a good actor. I don't know how if she was actually written like that, but
well, it's Judi Dench. I mean, she's a dame for a reason.
And I always thought she was awesome, but then other people are saying it's like, you know, a lot of people like consider her a bitch. And it's like she's not a bitch. She's like she's all this and this and this and this, and, you know, she's awesome. And apparently, you know, when some people see like a strong female character such as that, you know, people will say it's like, well, she's basically just a man that is written as a man, but is a woman. Or,
you know, that's Claudia Christian's character on Babylon 5.
It's
Major Ivanova. That again, with the sort of kind of like Kira, only much more so.
Yeah. But I was also told that, you know, if it were a guy, would they seem as much of a bitch? And I personally still call, you know, guys bitches, or I usually call them assholes. Just because, you know, but that's the thing. It's like, it's that sort of mental gender sort of thing. oh, well, they're like a tough guy. Yeah, they know how to get stuff done. And if there's a woman that does the exact same thing, oh, well, she's just a bitch. And it's like, you know, I don't see it like that. But then again, my mom pointed out, you know, you probably have a lot more modern, you know, perspective on things. But, you know, apparently it's like that. So I was just kind of wondering whether or not if this character that you were talking about was a guy, would he be considered an asshole or a bitch?
He would be difficult.
Fine line, for one.
Yeah. And the trouble is, you can see it a mile away that they're trying to make Kara look really strong. And by doing so, they give her male traits, which isn't the same thing as a strong female character. If Kara were male, she'd just be he would just be someone unpleasant and difficult to get along with.
But then they also wouldn't have, like, they probably wouldn't show him worrying about the resistance in the same way. Like,
yeah.
I mean, her character is basically Worf, but she worries more about things that happened in the past.
Mm.
In a different kind of way. I guess in a kind of girl way. She's girl Worf.
Speaking of strong female characters, what did you guys think of Tasha? Tasha Yar.
I thought she was cool until, you know,
she was killed off.
And then they had to do the Romulan thing. That was awful. Yeah.
It was clever, though. It's a clever way to bring someone back.
No, it wasn't.
It's better than saying it's a twin sister.
She looks exactly the same, but she's only half human. But somehow, I guess she didn't get any Romulan genes
whatsoever.
She's
her own daughter.
Yeah, that was really smart. What do you say?
I didn't really have an opinion about her. I didn't hate her or nothing, but
I thought she was.
She wasn't awesome. Around long enough to really.
Yeah, I mean, she was kind of similar to Kira, and she probably would have had a lot of the same kind of stuff go on with her.
Well, she had a lot. You know, she actually had a background too. I mean, it's like, you know, it's you know, it's one of those, you know, if they did it today, the background would be so tropey. Oh, she was raped on a slave colony sort of thing, and that's why she's like this now. You know, would for sure be a dime a dozen, rinse and repeat sort of backstory for a strong female character. She had to have a tragic past. She had to have been raped sort of thing. A lot of things.
Kardashian occupation.
Yeah, you know, one of those things.
More ways than one.
I thought she was like, you know, when I was a kid watching this, it's like, I thought she was like the hottest, you know, character on that show. You know,
I thought she was pretty cool. Yeah. I would have liked to see more of her.
Yeah, she was badass. She had short, sexy hair. I got a thing for short hair.
Beautiful eyes. Very important.
Well, she's just so strong-willed, and she was just so cool and badass, and she was tough, and, you know, all this sort of stuff that I liked, and they just killed her off, and it was like, that really sucked. Until, like, that one point where an alternate future happened where she was back on the Enterprise, but like there
was yesterday's Enterprise.
Yeah,
I did like that.
That made sense. Yeah, and then, as a direct result of that, she became the Romulan character.
Yeah, which is too bad.
Oh well. Anyway, we're gonna go to break one more time, and when we come back, a little bit more Star Trek. Fess here in post, and I couldn't find a decent pod safe Star Trek themed song for the break. So I'm going to try something a little bit different. This song is from Lapvox Tracks, the music I use on the Web Fiction World podcast. I'm going to just go ahead and play this because I like this song, and I'll see if you guys also enjoy it.
Go somewhere else with a different name, different face. Cause I feel like I've got to get up and go. Go somewhere, but where? I don't know. When this feeling is all I can feel at any given time, I know it's time. I know it's time. Humanoid in an artificial life.
emotions crafted along with my super sight. I only understand that which I'm programmed. If I crash, I'll get back up with my super head. I'm a humanoid in this biosphere. I can hear everything with my super ears. Only feel the way that I'm programmed. And most of the time, that's not to give a damn. Somewhere else with a different name, different face. Cause I feel like I got to get up and go. Go somewhere, but where? I don't know. When this feeling is all I can feel at any given time, I know it's time. I know it's
That was Humanoid by The Queenstons off of Figurehead Remastered. This is from LapFoxTracks.com, where you can actually buy this song in its full bass-boosted quality at 320 kbps at LapFoxTracks.com. And we're back.
Hey!
We haven't mentioned at all, which I'm a little surprised, the real Star Trek. With Captain Kirk and Mr. Spock.
Yeah, I haven't seen any of it, and I'm scared to watch it.
Oh, don't be. It's. Here's the thing. I actually did want to bring this up. Is like, which series would you pick? Which is like, if I have to pick from all the Star Trek, I have to pick Next Gen. Well over, you know, it's kind of close with Next Gen and Voyager for me. Mm-hmm. And I think I usually have to go back with Next Gen. But, you know, but the thing is, there was such a long period of time between the original series and Next Gen that you kind of can't really keep it in with anything that happened after Next Gen because it's so different. And it's also so, it's so classic. You know, it's certainly a product of its time. Towards the end of the original series, you could tell that it was really sort of aging. But I like earlier, like the first...
The first two seasons are definitely the best. The third one, they had a new producer and much less money. And it
really
shows.
So it's like the opposite of Next Gen.
Yeah. The third season, you could tell that they were running out of money because they had more and more shows that take place on the ship because those sets were already built.
Or on Earth or Earth-like areas. Like.
Yeah, things like that. But it has some really good moments in the third. Even the third season has some good episodes.
Yeah.
So.
It's sort of like a classic. You always have to like it, I suppose.
Yeah. It was made for a different audience. It was made in a different time.
Right.
So it's, you know, if you approach it from that way, if you've never ever seen any of it before and you approach it from that, it's more of a classic TV show.
Yeah, and it's just fun, really.
It is a lot of fun, and there's some damn good episodes in it too for what it is.
Yeah.
You might be pleasantly surprised.
I'll have to check it out. I'll loop back around and watch it after I finished Voyager and Enterprise.
The only problem, the last two episodes are not on Netflix streaming. They're on DVD only.
So what, like, jerks.
I'm like, screw that.
Well, are they actually worthwhile, or are they like the Next Generation last episodes?
Well, I have no idea. That's the thing, and I'm not going to, because...
DS9? DS9 or which show? Which one?
The original series you're talking about, right?
Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't have a finale. They just canceled the series, so it does. The original Star Trek, you know, you might miss a couple episodes, I guess, but
yeah.
Let's see, that'd be Turnabout. And God, I actually know that Turnabout Intruder was the last one, and that one's okay. That's a gender episode that is sort of interesting.
Was that
to
actually
look at
the last
a modern
one?
Perspective?
Was that actually the last one?
That was the last episode
where this girl that used to work, we could have been captain, or no, the Starfleet didn't allow female captains.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So maybe
wait,
I
Starfleet doesn't allow female captains in
at that point in time, but apparently the Enterprise C had a female captain. The one before the Next Gen.
Actually, in the movies, they had a female captain too.
Well, no.
By Star Trek IV, they certainly did.
Well, no, I'm saying like in the original series at that point in time.
Yeah, but then in later Captain Kirk movies, they did have female captains.
Yeah, because I'm sure they realized how strangely achronistic that seems.
That was more like the 70s and 80s. So
yeah.
But the yesterday's Enterprise, you know, which was I think Enterprise C, that was run by a female captain.
Yeah, and that was after.
That would have been
That would have been after the Kirk age.
Yeah. So. I don't know. So I never saw Enterprise. I never got to see all of Voyager because that's when I didn't have TV anymore. I just didn't get a chance to.
You gotta watch it. All this shit on streaming, son.
Yeah, I know. I got Netflix right now. I already went through the original series, so I got that all down. I went through. I'm going through Next Gen, trying to skip the ones I really remember. Just because I have a feeling that there's some I missed, or there's just some fun ones I want to revisit. And then after that, I'm going to go to Voyager. I'm going to skip DS9, except for maybe jump in.
You need to watch the later parts of DS9.
Yeah, I need to probably jump in halfway, or like maybe the last season. Because I remember...
At least the last three seasons, or you'll be lost.
Really? Well, okay, no, I remember the last...
Because the war just goes on and on, but you got to see where it starts.
The last episode I remember is when after Odo went back to the big ooze pool because he had to.
Yeah, I think that was back in like season 4 or something.
And then he came out of it and he remembered that like one of the Klingon is they're not the founders. There was another name for them.
Changelings.
The Changeling. I thought there was another. The Dominion.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's the entire alliance of those guys. It's not just the shapeshifters.
All right. So basically, that's the last episode I definitively remember, and I remember things are starting to get good now.
Yeah, shut up.
So I'll probably start whatever that episode was, and then just continue from there. And Voyager had some pretty good episodes, I think. A lot of missteps, and I never got to see the end.
Well, all these series, their first season is not always the best, and... That's just, you know, working the kinks out of the series.
Yeah,
so,
but I was surprised. Like, that was my first, what I liked about Deep Space Nine, is that while they were still figuring out, like, what to do dramatically, the first season was pretty funny. Like, it was, you know, they had a lot of fun moments, whereas the first season of The Next Generation was just very clunky and kind of sad.
Really? Well, yeah.
I thought so. You know, like, I mean, the episode where Yar dies... Like, rewatching that, is like, is there anything really worthwhile about that? Not really.
Not really, except we have...
Oh, that ooze. He's sad. He's a sad ooze.
See, she died
but
of...
because of humans.
She died of bad contract negotiations. That's what she died of.
Yeah, she wanted to get out of it. She...
She
said that she
something.
Felt if she tried that after Roddenberry had died, it wouldn't have happened, but she credits him with sort of saying, yeah, go ahead.
Really?
It's too bad.
Yeah.
I mean, I know this season that I'm watching of DS9, Dax is going to leave. I mean, die, because the actress left.
Yeah, then they get a new chick on there from, she was on some sci-fi channel show before that. And I always thought she was kind of cute. I always thought she was kind of cute, but she's not a great Dax. But, well, you know, you'll have
to
decide
for
yourself.
Which is too bad, because Dax is just getting good now.
Yeah, it does seem kind of crummy to just, you know, it's like the last season, let's replace this person.
Yeah.
Why not just stick it out another damn season, Terry?
Was it the actor, or was it
the actors?
Come on, don't you want a regular paycheck?
I know
this is what I like about anime, is that I don't have to deal with this shit. It's never, oh, this animated character decided to leave, so we have to replace them.
So, subs or
you
dubs?
Have to replace Pikachu.
Subs or dubs?
subs.
Team Rocket.
It depends. It depends a lot on the show, because I like dubs because I can work while I watch them.
Right. And they've gotten a lot better. They've gotten a lot better.
Oh, yes. I mean, I hate people who are like, no, never dubs. They're always a horrible thing.
Yeah, maybe in the 90s.
Yeah.
Yeah, the 90s, well, there's something different completely.
Card Captors, a mystic adventure.
So how much of a blah, 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 anime nerd are you?
I'm a pretty big anime nerd.
Okay. You might want to, we have a sister, not a sister program, an affiliate podcast called Animation Aficionados, where they talk about animation and they act as aficionados. Their tagline is, if you disagree with them on anything, you could be on a guest on a future show and talk about whatever you want. That's one thing you can you could maybe look into if you want to start something. They mostly talk about Western stuff, but I think a couple of them know some anime stuff that might be of interest. Otherwise, yeah. Otherwise, my people from the Tropecast sister program, a couple of the people on that are fairly into mecha stuff. And so any chance they get to tangent a topic into talking about giant robots.
Well, have they heard about Kiwi Blitz?
That might be something to talk about. Well, they talk about tropes mostly. And so,
like TV tropes?
Yeah. Well, we use TV tropes for like a lot of stuff for
I'm
reference.
I'm super into that site.
Yeah. So maybe we can figure out a type of trope topic. Excuse me, a trope topic. Which you could also be
a tropic, if you will.
A tropic, yeah, that's right.
So, I don't know. It's just something that that came up, and you seem to be doing really well on this podcast. So it's like, hey, maybe you're pretty good at podcasts then. So,
oh, thank you. Well,
there's a little bit of
hesitance.
What? What'd you say?
So I'm just giving you big kisses.
Aww.
We're all feeling so good. We're all doing a good job.
Well, you did have a hesitation in your thank you, but well, should I take this as a compliment? All right.
Is he trying to trick me like all those people in middle school?
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So okay. So coming back to Kiwi Blitz, you have a Tumblr. I'm going to try to get a show that that talks about Tumblr a little bit more. But I wanted to ask about your experience with Tumblr, since you came from DeviantArt and you finally did a comic and then you got into Tumblr. What is Tumblr for you?
Tumblr, like for me, it could replace DeviantArt if people decided to all, you know, start doing it. It's just really convenient. Like, I don't feel bad putting up a stupid sketch up there or a really finished piece. And it's all, it's just fun. I don't like that. The problem is that, you know, there's people who will have their Tumblrs with their art on it, but then they'll, the art is like every 20th tumble of theirs, you know? So it's like, oh, I want to see some of this person's art. And then it's like, I read blogged 50 other things. Are you guys still there?
I'm still here. I'm just,
okay.
Yeah, I wish I could get into Tumblr more. I just don't have any. All I do is I reblog. I don't reblog, but I just post, hey, the new episode is up. Here it is. And I don't really use it for art, but I love following artists on there because I can just scroll through. Oh, that one's just text. That was just text. Oh, cool. New art.
Yeah, and I like it's like, okay, I follow some artists. I also follow this Corgi Tumblr so I can see all my Corgi pictures. I follow Fat Birds. Like, pretty much whatever you want to see updates
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you know, and the real cool thing about, I think we talked about this on the Year in Review episode of the Webcast Beacon, Webcomic Beacon Newscast. We talked about Rage Comics as well as image memes, where you basically have this static image and then the words on it change to, but it's all usually about a similar theme or something like that. That it's basically it's not so much like as an like art sharing as much as it's like a different level of communicating with people and conveying common ideas and such. So it's more than just kind of sharing copy paste art, so to speak. It's a communications tool almost.
Yeah, and it's kind of got its own weird way of communicating that I think is interesting.
And you know, on Tumblr, that's you know. Reblog, yeah, you agree with it, and then just it's like its own viral tool. It's like better than Twitter because you can have like pictures and whole posts and
yeah, it's an interesting site.
Yeah,
I like it.
So I'm hoping to do something with Tumblr on a future episode. But yeah, I love seeing, you know, like you throw up like, you know, whatever sketches every once in a while, and that's a lot easier than just, you know, you never really want to mix your comic archive with sketches. You just want your comic archive to be your comic archive. And if you have, like on my site, I actually have a separate archive for, like, bonus comic-related stuff, and then this an extra archive for, sketches of stuff or whatever, you know, just some stuff. So when people are going through the archive, they're just kind of, they want the comic, they see just the comic. But with Tumblr, it's like, you know, it's just like, yeah, you know, you can get all your little sketches here and there, and they pop up when they do, and you don't have to scroll down and miss a news post that maybe had the sketch in. So it's like I feel like I'm not missing as much as I normally would. So I'm just kind of rambling right now, and so I'm gonna stop.
No, it's good.
So
everybody use it.
Yes.
I mean, I actually, if I was more savvy, I would integrate it into my portfolio site. And just run it through that, but as it sounds like a lot of work.
Yeah.
I don't know how that works.
Yeah, I think I updated my WordPress to have a plugin that'll auto tweet when I have a new post, and I'm trying to make it so that it'll auto Tumblr.
These technologies are ridiculous.
It's so much work. So anyway, I think we are at the end of our show here today. Mary, I do want to thank you for coming on the show and putting
Thanks
up with me,
me,
mostly. I'd like to thank Mark for eventually coming on the show.
Hi, it's me.
And once again, we had Mary Cagle on the show from Kiwi Blitz at kiwiblitz.com. Go ahead and check her comic out as well as her Tumblr, which she is Cube Watermelon.
And my DeviantArt, and my Twitter, and...
No, just your website and your Tumblr. That's all I'm promoting.
Bunch of other cool stuff, though.
Yes.
Welcome to the modern internet age.
And just a future word for people listening to the Webcomic Beacon, I'm going to attempt to integrate the Webcomic Beacon newscast into the Webcomic Beacon feed, because apparently the Webcomic Beacon newscast feed hasn't been updating for months. So I'm going to try and figure it out so people with the Webcomic Beacon feed may start hearing Webcomic Beacon newscast shows, because I think it's a really important show that people of this show should be, fans of this show should be listening to, especially if the feed is broken. Otherwise, you can go to webcastbeacon.com and grab the master RSS feed or the master iTunes feed and get all of the programming we offer here. You won't regret it. We got some fantastic people here working for free on podcasts.
It says here.
Because there's no money in it yet. Well, once I start making a profit on it, then that's when we'll talk. For right now, I'm just aiming for black. Oh, I got to do taxes now that it's a new year. Happy New Year, everybody.
Oh, yeah.
Happy New Year. Not Happy a crappy new year. New year. We hope the new year is good and stuff.
Yes. So once again, Mary from KiwiBlitz.com. Thank you once again.
Again, thank you.
Yes. And I have been Fest of ArgerComic.com.
And I have been and still am and will be when I leave. Mark from AutumnLake.com.
He started as an idea, and then it just got one up to the point that I'm going to make a comic about it.
No, you won't. Yeah, I will.
Something like that. Oh, man. The ending of the first comic is, no, you don't do that. No. I'm not going to even bother telling you guys, but.
Thank you. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year.
Hey, that's right.